Welcome to episode 169 of the Microsoft Cloud IT Pro Podcast, recorded live on March 16th, 2020. This is a show about Microsoft 365 and Azure from the perspective of IT pros and end users, where we discuss a topic or recent news and how it relates to you. In this episode, Ben and Scott have a bit of a therapeutic episode where they just talk for a bit about their experiences and the recent news over the past week due to the growth of the coronavirus in the U.S. After the therapy session, they provide some work-from-home tips based on their years of experience working from home themselves. Are you recording?
I am recording. I hit the big red button.
You hit the big red button. I hit the locks on all of our doors for the next 8 weeks.
Quarantine.
As per CDC's recommendation.
That's swell.
I told my wife I'm actually going to quarantine myself more and lock myself in my office for the next 8 weeks and just work. She did not like that idea.
Well, you know, you do what you got to do, but... I am just glad that I convinced you to cancel some things that you thought were potentially going to still go forward, but I didn't think they were.
There was a sliver of chance. Yeah. If you're listening and you were going to see us at some event, it's canceled. It doesn't matter where or what or when, it's canceled.
Yeah. Coronavirus canceled the year.
Yes. We had Global Azure Bootcamp coming up here. What, end of April? And I sent out an email last week that had organizers, the Global Azure Bootcamp global team, I guess, for lack of a better phrase. I don't know what they're actually called. But they canceled it at the worldwide level, which meant there wasn't going to be any sponsorship and any of that. And as a result, we canceled it here in Jacksonville. And then a couple days later, the location we were going to have it in canceled it as well because they said no events. So... that was one. The other one I was going to be at was the North American Collaboration Summit. So Mark Rackley's conference out in Branson, that was going to be April 1 through 3, I think, has been postponed. So that one is at least still going to happen. But in September, the week after Ignite. So Ignite is like September 21 through 25, I think.
Correct.
And North American Collaboration Summit is going to be the 28th through the 30th out in Branson. So I am still planning to go to Branson. Well, I could rebook plane tickets. I actually just rebooked my flights for that already. Hopefully we'll still be at Ignite as well. And that will still happen and everything will be better by September. But yeah, I think those are the big two that I had. I have not heard about the SharePoint conference yet. As far as I know, last I knew that was still going to happen. But I can't imagine it's going to happen.
I don't know. Vegas is shut down right now. So you know it's getting serious when MGM shuts down all of their properties.
Yeah.
So
that's shut down. Disney World here in the U.S. is shut down. Universal Studios is shut down. SeaWorld is shut down. All the Apple stores and Microsoft stores are shut down. All the bars and restaurants in Chicago are shut down.
Chicago, LA, Seattle, you name it.
The Disney stores are shut down. I saw that one this morning too. Mm-hmm. All the Disney stores worldwide are shut down. It's just bizarre. Yesterday, last night, it was like a week ago, everybody, at least here in the US, was going about their normal activities. And except for maybe Seattle. And then within a week, it's like the entire country is shut down.
Yeah, well, as a pragmatic person, we were told this was coming. And some of those in our government chose to ignore it. And I'll leave it at that.
We are going to turn into a political podcast.
Ah, yes. Today on the pod.
No, it was, I saw some interesting numbers. Let me go pull this up on Facebook. I don't think this was actually shared publicly, and I can't find the person that shared it did not show the source of the tweet, but the person that shared this, I also trust her that she's not just going to go spread a bunch of fake news. And there was it looks like someone did this in Excel, but it was a spreadsheet of the numbers of cases comparing Italy, the U.S., and California.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that same one.
Did you see that one where it's like 8 days in and the number of cases the U.S. has already surpassed the number of cases that Italy had 8 days in, which means at this point in time, we are looking to be in worse shape than Italy. And California is only 3 days in on this chart. And they have already surpassed the U.S. and Italy at 3 days in.
Yeah. I mean, we're good at our jobs.
Yes. So in light of all of that, are we going to ride the wave of news and information about this and everybody that's working from home and share some of our tips and just talk about working at home from general?
I think we could. I need a little bit of a cathartic kind of experience here, right? Because it is very surreal. I was traveling around this week. So this week I was on vacation and I was actually out skiing in Colorado. And just based on...
Scott, were you with 50 or more people?
Yes, I was with 50 more
okay.
people.
Scott, no, I'm just kidding.
No, it was... I was expecting far less people to be out and about. So going to the airport in Jacksonville, I was actually very surprised at the number of people that weren't there. Because normally in Florida, people, you know, ignore every piece of advice that's given to them by anyone. Because, you know, whatever, Floridians. So there was that. And the airport was kind of empty. And Atlanta was dead, which was very strange. And we got upgraded to first class on all our flights, and that never happens either. So clearly the planes were empty. And then we landed in Denver, and it was like landing in another world where people did not even know that this thing was going on. That airport
really
was so bustling and busy and just jam-packed, like in tight. People coming into the airport, people leaving the airport, all those kinds of things. And then even getting out to, so we went to Vail for the week, and even getting out to Vail, it was, you know, everything was open and bumping and going along. And just to speak to that pace of things, how quickly stuff does change, you know, we were out at Vail Monday through Wednesday, and I think by yesterday or the day before, they're all shut down. Like they're done for the season. You know, the
wow.
state government declared a state of emergency, and because of the rules around gathering people together and things like that, yeah, it is shut down. So that was kind of surreal. And then the other thing that I think is potentially hitting me in even a weirder way is part of my job up until, you know, this point has been traveling for work. And, you know, I'm used to doing virtual classes and virtual deliveries, but getting out there and seeing people and interacting with the community is a very important thing. And I genuinely enjoy it.
Yep.
And that part has come crashing down as well. So I had a trip to Ireland that was scheduled for work at the end of the month here. So I'm just going to assume, like, I haven't heard anything, but I'm not going to Ireland, right? Like that's not happening. I had a trip to DC scheduled.
Right. Well, that's going to fall under, because originally Ireland was left open for international travel, and I think they shut that down for the next 30 days too now.
Well, so that is for people who maybe carry like an Irish passport. So if you're actually Irish and from Ireland, but if you are a US citizen or you're on a green card, you'll just go through the enhanced screening when you come back to the country.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to be stuck in one of those airports with the TSA, you know, where it takes potentially 6 hours to get through customs and try and figure out what that looks like and where things land. That doesn't sound like too much fun to me either.
Yeah. No kidding. You could be Tom Hanks stuck in the airport.
I could, for sure.
Can't remember. Was that Terminal? Is that the name of that movie? I also saw the tweet going around that you should never travel with Tom Hanks because of all his movies. And then apparently he's actually tested positive.
For
coronavirus.
Yep.
He's not only just the movies, but in real life.
Yeah, he's in Australia being treated and getting going. So, and then the other thing that's really kind of got me weirded out is it's just that time of year when colds go around. And uh-huh. I've been talking to a couple of people who get laryngitis this time of year, or you just get, you know, the sniffles because, well, for us, there's so much pollen in the air right now, right? You know, you walk outside and my car is green right now. And it is not normally green. It's normally black. So there's just all these things going on. It's like, oh, wait, I have a sore throat and... Oh, yep. There we go. Sniffling a little bit. Like, is it just seasonal stuff? How much should I be near my kids? What's going on? It's a very weird time.
Yeah, I did read one comparing, because I have other friends too that have been asking about this in terms of symptoms to look for, comparing this to common colds, to other stuff. And one thing I did see that was interesting that made me feel a little better, because my kids all have the sniffles too, and we all have allergies, struggling with the same stuff, is that by and large with coronavirus, there is no sniffles. It is a fever, it's a cough, and it is not congestion, but more like the, it's hard to breathe, shortness of breath, the pneumonia type thing. But very rarely, if ever, is it accompanied by a congestion in the form of like a runny nose, hacky cough. It's more of a dry cough, dry shortness of breath, that type of stuff.
Yeah, well, I mean, so it is a SARS virus, right? I think people are like losing sight of that too. So it's a severe acute respiratory syndrome coronavirus, just to like continue to pile it on. And, you know, everyone talks about kind of how we went through swine flu and things like that. And respiratory illnesses are not great in general. And this one looks like it's just really nasty. You know, it's something that I don't wish on anybody, or nor do I want to go through. So I'm certainly trying to like practice the social distancing thing and stay out of public as much as possible. But you still have to go out and do, you know, grocery shopping and things like that. So we'll see.
Yeah, we use Instacart, and they won't even knock on the door now. They tell you, we got your groceries, we'll drop them at the door, we'll ring the doorbell, but don't come answer the door and get them from us. We'll just leave them right outside the door, and you can grab them right after we leave. But it also avoids us having to go to the grocery store.
Yeah, well.
But I agree, at some point in time.
I had to go to 1, 2, 3 grocery stores yesterday, and it took 3 grocery stores to finally get all of the things I needed, and I'm still short hot dog buns, because, you know, that would be the thing that is part of the shortage.
Yes, we have hamburger buns.
Yeah, I could have gotten hamburger buns or Hawaiian buns or anything else, but I really just wanted a hot dog bun for some brats, but I'll have to wait, I suppose.
If I see some, I'll let you know.
It'll come to me. Yeah, just go ahead and buy them for me. We'll do that black market thing. It'll be fine.
Perfect. You should see all the toilet paper I have in my house right now.
Oh, you're one of those. Come on.
No, we actually, yes, we do not have any more than normal. Do not come break into my house trying to steal my toilet paper. We just have our normal amount. We did not buy any extra.
I legitimately needed paper towels, and that was an exercise in frustration, you know, like,
oh, I'm sure
it turns into, you get very used to, and we're pretty privileged over here in the US, right, that you can just go to the grocery store, or you can go to Target or Sam's Club or Costco or whatever it is, and just whoosh, you know, kind of get all the things you need at once. And it's not all the things you need at once, it's also the brands that you like at once. And all of a sudden it's about compromise, which I find very interesting. So I tried to take my kids with me to the grocery store yesterday just to point out to them that, hey, you know, we've got to stay away from people. You know, we're going to do this 6-foot thing and kind of try and turn that into a little bit of a game. Like, can you figure out where 6 feet away is? But also to show them that, hey, the shelves are empty. And like, this is even weirder than when hurricanes and other things go on down here, right? There's a reason that you're out of school and not living a normal life right now.
Yeah. You know what else is sold out? Because we made this comment. We also have a bunch of baby wipes, but like Pampers baby wipes, even on Amazon, aren't in stock again until April 4.
Yep, baby wipes and diapers are also in shortages.
So I do see some diapers available. Maybe it's just the adult diapers, because adults couldn't buy toilet paper.
As IT professionals in the cloud era, sometimes it feels like we don't speak the same language as the rest of the organization. So when stakeholders from finance or other departments start asking about a specific project or team's Azure costs, they don't always realize how much work is involved in obtaining that information. Sifting through cluttered CSVs and a complex mess of metadata in order to manually create custom views and reports. It's a real headache. On top of helping you understand and reduce your organization's overall Azure spend, ShareGate Overcast lets you group resources into meaningful cost hubs and map them to real-world business scenarios. This way, you can track costs in the way that makes most sense with your corporate structure, whether it's by product, business unit, team, or otherwise. It's a flexible, intuitive, and business-friendly way of tracking Azure infrastructure costs, and it's only available in ShareGate Overcast. Find out more on ShareGate.com/ITPro.
Now that we're a good 15 minutes in, we said it was cathartic, and now everybody's going to be like, you are talking about it too. Yeah, well, we are. But the work from home, like all these companies, Microsoft, Amazon, big companies and small companies. I know several friends here that work for sports organizations, that work for other IT companies, are all working from home.
Yes. And I think everyone has a hot take on it, right? What it takes to work from home.
I agree. And it's a little interesting. So I have worked from home for the better part of 12 years. There was about a year and a half in there where I worked in a traditional office on an IT team. Other than that, I have worked from home for 12 years. My kids do not know any different than me working from home. So over 12 years, my situation is maybe a little different than someone that has all of a sudden been like, you're going to work from home for the next, we don't know how long, in that I have been able to set off certain areas of my room, purchase certain equipment over the last 12 years, and really set up a nice environment to work from, where someone that maybe is just all of a sudden you're working from home, it's going to be a little bit more difficult because you obviously can't go out and spend thousands of dollars on desks or computers, or maybe don't have a certain area of your house that's set up as an office that's as easy to work from. And then top that off with now your kids might also be at home due to no school. It's definitely a little different. So we'll kind of talk about it as, yeah, there's going to be some differences in different situations, but maybe we can try to think about some points that maybe don't require a lot of money, just general tips, practices, that type of stuff that could help people to compound on top of everything else everybody's talking about working from home.
Yeah, let's do it. I think there's some interesting things there. And I've, just to frame myself up, so I've been working from home kind of exclusively remote in my current role for coming up on almost 3 years now in this one. And certainly in past jobs, I've always had the capacity to work remotely, or, you know, you'd spend some time at a client site maybe, and then go back to your house and kind of figure out life along the way. So it's something that's near and dear to me, especially for those that haven't potentially done it before, because it can be a little off-putting when you first go down that path and first start things.
Yeah, I agree. Do you want to start with one, or do you want me to kick one off with something that I was thinking of?
Yeah, go for it.
I was pondering this for a little longer because I started thinking about it last night, what I would talk about.
Ponder away.
So one of mine, that this one is one I've had discussions with other people about, and I'm going to frame this up a little bit more in that my wife also stays at home with our kids. We have younger kids. A couple of them are homeschooled. A couple of them are young enough that they aren't in school. So it actually has been all six of us at home together for several years now. When you're working from home, this is one of the hardest things that I have, and my wife can struggle with it as well, is to remember that you're working. I will be sitting in my office, and I do have a dedicated room in our house. That's my office. And you hear the kids screaming, or your wife comes home with groceries, which may or may not be the case during this point in time. But if you do start working from home and it's normal times, she comes home with the groceries, or something's going on. Is that important for both you and her, or you and your spouse, will make it whoever it might be, is working? If the kids are screaming, I have to think to myself a lot, if I was in an office, what would I be doing? I would be at my desk working. The kids screaming, her having a hard time with the kids, coming home with groceries and needing help bringing them in. If I was driving to an office and in the office, I would be at the office and she would figure it out. When you're working from home and you have work to get done, there is some flexibility that comes with it. There are times when I'm not in the middle of anything. It's 15 minutes between meetings. I'll go down and help out for a few minutes. It's not saying don't ever help out, but keep in mind that every time a kid screams, you don't have to go run and check on them. Or there's that certain mindset of that when you're working, and if you were in an office, you wouldn't be there to help out anyways. And yeah, I don't want it to come across as just don't ever help your spouse out or your person out, but you still have to get work done. So keep that mindset and help your spouse or your roommate or whoever to keep that mindset as well, that when you're working, you're working.
Yeah. So that's certainly a big one. I think one of the differences between you and I, so you have a dedicated office in your house, right?
Yep.
That's the place that you go to.
I can shut the door. Yep. I can lock the door if I need to. It's the office.
Yep. I can do the same thing, but my office, just to kind of be up front, it's in my master bedroom. So it's one of the biggest rooms in the house. It was a place that had lots of natural light and I could feel like it was working in a good way. It was acoustically sound, you know, it had a couple of different things going on. And I just don't have another room in the house where I can make these things kind of happen. So that's been an interesting one for me too. So I can lock the door and that's not a problem. And I, you know, I can keep people out and I can put signs on the door and I can do all those kinds of things. But what do I do when it's something like this week or the next couple of weeks where not only are my kids home, but my wife's home as well. So now, you know, just for example, this morning, you know, we start recording around 8 a.m. And my wife's got a little bit of a cold too. She wants to sleep in. Well, it just turned into, well, Scott's being, you know, a not very nice person because he's making me wake up and get out of bed while I have a cold so that he can record and have the bedroom to himself.
Yeah, it's, that definitely makes it interesting in terms of how you do that. And I think on that flip side, not so much with your wife, but your kids, everybody thinks about that guy that got interviewed. I can't even remember what he was getting interviewed, but his kids busted in the bedroom while he was in the middle of the interview and he was trying to push him out of the way, shove him out of the way, quick close the door. His wife or nanny or somebody, I don't even remember who it was, came like flying in the room to try to get them out. By and large, if my kids are going to make a ton of noise, like if they're in my office screaming and yelling at each other, I'll have to go on mute and tell them, okay, guys, I need you to get out. You need to be quiet. Whatever. But if my kids are being reasonable, I've been on meetings before where my kids are literally sitting on my office floor playing. If you let people know up front, hey, my kids are home. If you hear a little noise in the background, it's them. I'll try to keep them quiet. But my clients are, people are more open to that, I guess I would say, than you might think. Then there's a little bit of noise going on in the background. If you're in an office, there's noise going on in the background too. It's just different noise. But don't think that you're going to lose a client or teammates are going to get upset or people are going to get frustrated if your kids are making a little bit of noise in the background. What I have seen over the last 12 years is people are okay with that. It's a part of life. That being said, if you're not talking, please mute yourself so that that's not just noisy background when someone else is trying to talk. But people are, from what I've seen, are very forgiving with a little bit of background noise when you're at home and you have kids or your spouse or somebody else making some noise in the background, or they come flying into the office to ask a question, not realizing you're on a video call. My wife has said hi to a few of my clients because I didn't lock the door. She didn't realize she was on a video call and she just came in the office to ask a question. So people are more forgiving about that than you might anticipate or than you might think.
Yeah. I think part of it is just recognizing kind of what's going on and where you're at, right? And that your situation is maybe different than somebody else's. So I think one of those things that I've invested a little bit of time in and I never really cared about up until a couple weeks ago, actually, was you had said, hey, let's do this GlobalCon thing and we're going to stream it on YouTube live. I was like, well, oh, geez, my computer's in my bedroom and we're going to be on video. So I actually had to move my whole computer out to another part of the house and, you know, kind of shoot and do things that way. But that prompted me to go out and look for some custom backgrounds for things like Zoom and Teams and, you know, making my like video chat software work a little bit better for me. So I think, you know, if you've got some free time on your hands, definitely spend some time and go out and find like a good blur or a good background or something like that, that can help you get through some of those meetings a little bit easier, you know. So that way, if your kids or your wife do pop in the room, they'll hear the noise of it, but they don't have the hands flying and, you know, the confetti going everywhere and all the other things that potentially come with that.
Yep, exactly. That's another good one. That's something I don't do a ton, but I could definitely do more of too. And part of it is I'm in a dedicated office. My background's fine. It's usually just the people popping in.
When it comes to email, Outlook and Office 365 are fantastic. But sometimes there are things you'd like to do that aren't implemented. Sperry Software creates Outlook add-ins and Office 365 services that fill in these gaps. For instance, There are Outlook add-ins to automatically print emails and or attachments, save emails to PDF, send out recurring emails, or how about a warning when you're going to do a reply to all instead of a normal reply? Find these and many more email productivity solutions. Get started today by visiting www.sperrysoftware.com/cloudIT.
Another one, and this one is popular. So this is one people may have seen before, heard a lot before, but I'm going to reiterate it because it's something I do, and it's something that, from everything I have read and seen, makes a big difference, is get up and act like you're going to work. Don't get up and go sit on the couch or stay in your pajamas all day. Get up. I get up every morning. I get up with my kids. I brush my teeth. I get dressed. I go have breakfast. I go through a normal routine. And then it's not always the same time, but it's usually sometime between 8 and 8:15. I actually tell my family bye. I go around, tell all my kids bye, tell my wife bye, act like I'm going to work, and I go to the office and work. If I actually have to walk out the front door to go to a meeting, they can't figure out what's going on because my kids think that after you go tell them bye, I go upstairs, and that's just what you do every day is you tell them bye and you go upstairs to work. But I have that set routine where I could go up to my office or I could go walk out the front door. It might make a little difference than if I'm in shorts or t-shirts versus a button down in jeans or something. But other than that, my morning routine wouldn't change much at all if I was going to an office or if I was going up to my office or wherever I chose to sit and work. It's essentially the exact same routine that I follow. Every single morning, I go up, I work, I come down, say hi, get some lunch, go back up and work. And then I have a set time, and it's usually within 5 or 10 minutes of that set time that I say, okay, I'm done working. I'm going to go downstairs, have dinner with my family, spend time with them, have a normal evening. So I have those set times, that set routine where it's not, I'm going to get up and I'm going to sit in my pajamas on the couch or work from bed for 3 hours and maybe I'll go take a shower at noon. That works for some people, I think. But just having that set routine and that set pattern and act like you're going to work every day really seems to help me. And again, from everything I've said, really does tend to make a difference for pretty much everybody if they have that set routine.
Yeah, I think it's easy to fall into ruts there. So I remember my very first work from home job, which actually wasn't supposed to be a work from home job. I was hired with a consultancy and I ended up spending about my first year just kind of sitting at home. And it took me about 4 months to figure out that routines were a thing that needed to happen. Like, I would wake up in the morning, I would go to my desk, I would sit down, I would start working. Noon would come around and I go like, oh, I guess I should eat now and maybe take the dogs for a walk. And I would do that and I would realize that it was noon or 1 o'clock or whatever it was. And I was still in shorts and a t-shirt and looking a little rough around the edges. You know, you're kind of afraid, you haven't really started your day yet because all of a sudden showers are a thing that you take at like 3 in the afternoon in between meetings because you just stopped taking them in the morning or whatever it was along the way. So that was like a big one for me. I remember one day my wife came home and basically looked at me and she's like, I probably in her eyes was the equivalent of like some kind of like social misfit at that point and coming across as not very well put together. She actually made me go out. We went to the store and I just bought a cheap suit. Like she made me buy a cheap suit and like, hey, tomorrow when you wake up, you're going to have to put this suit on. Like, really? I just like want to go to my desk and sit in my shorts. But it turned out that that was definitely something that I needed because you hear it a lot from people, but I think you have to experience it for yourself where you come in and you figure out that, okay, this is the moment or this is the thing that's going to flip me over the other way and make me realize that work is work and home is home because that line gets very blurry very fast, kind of when you're sitting around and doing things on your own. You know, I work with folks all over the world and sometimes they'll like chat me at night. And when I don't respond to chat, which is definitely an asynchronous thing, right? Like it's not meant for
right.
me to respond.
It's not meant supposed to be, right. Yeah. Call me if you want it to be real time.
Right. And they'll go like, oh, why didn't you ping me? Or like, you know, if I get something on Saturday and it's not important, I don't answer it until Monday or whenever it is. And they'll come back and they'll be like, oh, you didn't answer my thing this weekend. It's like, no, I didn't, because I live my life. Like, I, you know, it's great that you think work is a 24/7 thing, but it can't be. It's not meant to be. You got to balance your time and figure out where that looks like and how it all comes together for you.
Yep. That's one that I'm not as good at when it comes to like just ignoring texts and emails. And I definitely go downstairs. I very rarely will answer my phone or respond to a chat, like until after my kids are in bed. Weekends, sometimes they will, but I'm always watching it. And part of mine is I'm a single person consultant. If I have a client that has a SharePoint farm that goes down and I'm the guy that's supposed to fix it, I do have to keep somewhat of an eye on that. I think if I was in more of that 8-to-5 where I didn't feel like I was on call as much at night, it would be a lot easier. I know sometimes you've even said when you've been in certain roles, you've just deleted Outlook off your phone on the weekends so that you aren't able to check those work emails on the weekends so that you can just, it makes it a lot easier to ignore it. If you're not in that position where you actually have to keep an eye on your email, 5:30, 6, 7 o'clock comes around Friday, just delete your work apps from your phone. They're really quick and easy to reinstall. A lot of times the accounts are still saved, so it just connects right back up. And then Monday morning at 8 o'clock, go reinstall all those work apps that you use that someone might ping you on. If you have the ability to do that, that definitely makes it easier to work those normal hours.
Yeah, people think I'm crazy when I say that one, but it's true. Like, I don't put my work email into something like mail.app, and I keep everything in Outlook because I'm working with an organization that does all their email through Exchange Online. So it kind of makes sense. But then I don't do my personal email through Outlook either. That's a sacrifice that I got to give up, even though I might like the email client, whatever. Like, it goes to the side, so I can just throw it in its own container. And when I need to like close the bin or get rid of it, good, it goes away. It's off my phone. And I could certainly like turn off notifications and do all those things, but then the app is still on my phone. And I'm one of those people where if it's on my phone, I'm going to tinker and go click on it and play with it. And I just can't have that happening. So for me, I find that it's helpful to kind of keep that delineation going and separate things as much as possible.
Yep. And I've done the opposite. So I keep the app on all the time, but I have my notifications off. Because if my notifications are on every time it buzzes, I look at it. When they're off, it's, I remember to check it, and maybe I'll glance at it every hour, every couple hours. But then I don't have like that little glaring red number that somebody like me that's can be a little OCD. It like drives me nuts if I have notifications that I haven't looked at. So I'm the opposite way. I leave it on, but all my notifications are off on things like Twitter. I think I have notifications off on Facebook and Outlook. And all of those. And it is my approach is if you really need to get a hold of me, if it skips to Outlook, I'll get it relatively soon. And if it's urgent, I'll respond. But if you really need me, send me a text or give me a phone call, because I will see those way quicker than I will an email.
Yeah.
Because I'm not going to get notified when you email me. So another one, and this is a little bit of one that if you're going to do this long term, just invest in your office, your monitors. I have some big monitors. I have nice speakers, I have good lights, I have a very comfortable chair, I have a nice desk. If you're working from home long term, it's your office, it's your workspace. Spend a little bit of money to make it the most productive you can. Even if you're going to be there for the next 8 weeks and your kids are going to be home, my recommendation would be spend a little bit of money, get some decent noise-canceling headphones if you need to help you focus. You don't have to go out and spend thousands and thousands of dollars, but spend a little bit of money if you need to make it comfortable and to make it an environment that you actually can work in.
Yeah, that's certainly applicable if you're going to be working from home long term. I think if you're short term, if you're used to having multiple monitors and things like that at the office and those make you productive, you might actually have to spend a little bit of money, or you might find that you don't even need to spend a little bit of money on hardware. Like, one of my favorite tricks, and I do it a lot when I travel, is I'm on a Windows device, but I use my iPad as a second monitor just to go ahead and kind of throw workloads up on it using a little piece of software called Duet. And there's a bunch of kind of screen mirroring software. Certainly if you're on a Mac, you've got Sidecar and things like that. But you have ways to make some of that kind of come together and work for you and just make life a little bit easier.
Yep, absolutely. I use Duet. I use Sidecar because I am all Apple. I've, based on how one is working or what I'm doing at the time. Sometimes I've used Duet, sometimes I use Sidecar. I think it is a Luma display is another one. I think it's Luma. Is it Luma or Luna?
Luna.
Luma with an M. No, Luna. It's with an N.
I know. I tried to correct you, but that's
yes,
okay.
I was not listening. Yes. Luna display is another one. But if you do, you have an old iPad sitting around or something like that, look for some of that software that may be cheaper, easier than going out and buying a brand new monitor. Yeah. External keyboard, external mouse, if you need that. Good headphones. Those are my big ones. Good monitors, good mouse, good keyboard. And then other than that, it's just picking up random little stuff here and there.
Yeah. Well, I think the kind of chair and the comfort thing is a big one and making sure that you're in a comfortable place. So I do a standing desk and I tend to spend a good portion of my day standing. Like if I'm on a phone call, usually I'm on a untethered headset, like a Bluetooth headset, and I can just roam around most of the house if I have to kind of go ahead and make things work. But it's important that you have a good chair and that you're comfortable and ready to go. Like don't wake up in the morning and think, all right, I'm going to sit in bed and just put, you know, my breakfast tray over me and throw my laptop on it and I'm going to have my neck crunched up, or I'm going to go sit on the couch and stare down at my lap all day or whatever it happens to be. You got to put yourself in a better position than that to make things work.
Yep. I have a standing desk too. I really like mine. I did find I got annoyed with putting my desk up and down when I wanted to stand versus sit. So I have a standing desk with a bar height chair.
Yeah.
So that I don't have to adjust my desk. I can sit down or I can stand up and my desk can stay in the exact same spot. And I do the same thing.
Yeah, mine's the same way. It's fixed height and I do a bar height stool. And when I don't want to be standing, the stool comes in. And when I want to stand up, the stool just goes to the side. Nice and easy.
Yep. And I do. I tend to roam a lot when I'm on phone calls too. I just pace in my office though. I don't usually walk around the whole house. But it does, like, I find I really like having that standing desk and having that option to either sit or stand at my desk. So I think those are some of the big ones I have. And we've been chatting for a while now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So well, should we wrap it up so we can actually both go get some work done?
Yeah. Yeah. Despite appearances, the world does continue to turn.
Yes. And we both have work to do. So
back to those virtual classes I go.
Yes, go enjoy the rest of your day. Enjoy teaching those virtual classes. Go get out of your pajamas. Find a good custom background and teach away.
All right. Thanks, Ben.
All right. Thanks, Scott.
If you enjoyed the podcast, go leave us a 5-star rating in iTunes. It helps to get the word out so more IT pros can learn about Office 365 and Azure. If you have any questions you want us to address on the show or feedback about the show, feel free to reach out via our website, Twitter, or Facebook. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.